Well, good morning, everybody. We'd like to welcome you online and in person. Thank you for joining us this morning. As you can see, things are a little bit different on our stage, and we've made these changes in order to comply with the new state regulations. So we're hoping that this won't last too long, but for now, this is how we're going to worship. Despite everything, we are thankful and we are grateful and we are full of joy because we can worship the living King Jesus this morning. So will you stand with us and we'll sing together.
In the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Lord of glory.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, we believe that. We proclaim it. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty.
See you.
Let's pray together. Holy God and Creator, you are the one that fashioned us. You're the one that was there when we were knit in our mother's womb. Even then, you had a plan for us. In fact, you fashioned us for that plan, knowing who we are, knowing where we would go and what we would do. And your plan is a good plan. In fact, it's a fortified plan. It is so good, it is so strong, it is so ultimate, it is so divine. So eternal that as you lead us, we make it through. We make it through all the challenges, all the speed bumps, all the detours in life. You keep revealing yourself to us, you keep pointing the way. As we make our way, you give us your Holy Spirit who urges us along, empowers us, reminds us that we can have peace in the midst of any problem, any challenge, any difficulty in life. Your plan is so good because you are so good, God. And using you as the measure and the indicator, we know we're not God. We're not a big G God. We're not even a little G God. And we confess to you that we haven't always thought as we should this week. We haven't always said what we should say, or we've said things that we shouldn't say. Lord, our actions have crossed the line, have not made it to the line. And so we confess that to you, that you might free us. You might take off the chains of guilt and shame and replace those feelings of guilt and shame with forgiveness and hope. And Father, you know right where we are as we are trying to move forward in life, deal with a continuation of this COVID virus. I pray, Lord, your healing hand would be upon those who are sick, that your hedge of protection would be around all those that are still very much on the front line dealing with sickness and death. And Lord, our anxiety and our frustration, please take that as well today. Remind us that you always have been, you are, and you always will be a God of hope. And to trust in you is to trust in the very best. Trust in the Almighty God. Trust in the God who has boundaried everything in history. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. And once again, Lord, as we desire to lift you up in worship, please lift us up as well. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right, so you can turn and wave to those around you this morning. As you can tell, we've had a change in regulation in our state. Now we're using plexiglass deflectors. Our hope, if this lasts another week, these will be full sheets of plexiglass so that you can see us completely. Hopefully, the way we did the lights, if you're online stream, you can still see us. I know you can hear us as we worship today. Thank you. I got a great letter this week into the office. We had a woman who had surgery and a fairly good amount of time in the rehab center. Made it out of the rehab center just in time for our very nice weather to break out. And all she wanted to really do is go out her back door and sit at her patio, on her patio chair with her patio table. And well, since she's been sick and she's been in rehab, as you might imagine, I know it's hard to believe, in the Pacific Northwest, she had some moss all over all her patio furniture and her patio chair. And so she wasn't sure what she was going to do about that. And someone from the church called and asked her how she was and if there was anything that we could do to help her. And she said, well, I know this sounds funny, and normally I could take care of it myself, but you know, I've been in the hospital and in rehab, and you know, all I really want to do is go sit out in the sun at my patio table and sit in my patio chair. And so very quickly, some deacons were dispatched. They went down to her place. And I could tell you that the patio table, the patio chairs, the patio, that side of the house is all clean of moss and crud. And it looks, as she put it in the letter, wow, it looks brand new, brand new. So thank you very much for coming and helping us, helping me, she said. Thank everybody, all the deacons, everybody in the office, and I thank you for being that kind of a church, that when someone needs something big or something, well, pretty simple, go hose off some patio furniture. It was simple to those that went, but it was profound, obviously, to her. To enjoy her time being back at home again. We're gearing up for the fall, so keep your eyes on the website. Our hope is within the next week or two to advertise everything that is coming this fall. We're working on a hybrid model for most things, where there'll be a people present, but also the opportunity to be a part of that on Zoom. Some of the small groups will continue on Zoom. Some will, as allowed, begin to meet face-to-face, although social distance and masked. But I don't know about you, but I'll take anybody in a mask. Anybody 6 feet away, that's a pretty good thing right about now. Us extroverts are just going crazy. We like want to go to the mall and just watch people walk by. They don't even have to know who we are, right? Well, let's continue to move forward in worship. Jennifer's going to come and read our scripture passage, and she is our children's director. Thanks for coming and reading today.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. We good?
This one, that one.
Okay. All right. I might steal this one so that the mic's not right next to me. I don't want to bump it. Good morning. This morning we're reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?"
Thank you, Jennifer. So we're in a second installment on being our best. And as we laid the foundation last Sunday, our best is being the new creation that God is creating in us in Jesus Christ. It is about allowing the past to be behind us, the past, and grabbing a hold of the immediate and hoping and trusting in the future. That's what new creations do. New creations. We are new creations in Jesus Christ, and so we're called forward in life and in faith in Jesus Christ. And it's true, isn't it, that it's going to take faith to move forward in life and in faith. It takes faith, it takes trust in Jesus because, well, you know, there are some rough roads up ahead, isn't there? I mean, how are you at a crossroads in life, and how are you when the climb starts to become steep and difficult in life? Where do you turn? Well, we put our best foot forward. That's a good thing, but at times that's not enough to be our best. It's not enough just to put our best foot forward. The reason is it's those crossroads. It's those uphill climbs in life. We're just not good enough, strong enough, intentional enough to make our way each and every day. We get tired. We get a little despondent. We face things that cause us to throw our hands in the air. And what we do as new creations is we call out to God. And isn't it true? I'm a little like this. Have you ever said, you know, if God would just come down and talk to me right now and tell me which way to go? Talk to me and say, no, don't go that way, go this way. Oh, yeah, it looks like it's just uphill all the way, but it's only uphill a little ways, and you can make it with my help. When we're trying to be, aspiring to be the best we can, the best men and women that we've been fashioned to become in Jesus Christ, we still have, well, challenges. We still have crises in our life. And in those moments, we all want to, and it, rightfully, we pray or we cry out to God, will you just tell me what to do and where to go? Well, that's what Moses had been doing. Moses had been wondering about what God had in store for him. And he knew right now that his job was to tend the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. He worshiped every day. He asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do this day? What do you have in store for me in the future? And I'm sure he thought about that and dreamed about that as he daydreamed about that as he was out with the sheep. He thought back over his past. He remembered the privilege of the palace, the realization that he really was a leader of sorts, a rebel of sorts. And so as he tended the sheep, he wondered, Lord, what do you have in store for me? And, well, you know what happens. He's moving along, and all of a sudden, here's a burning bush, and an angel speaks to him out of the burning bush. Hey, dude, come over here. Moses, come over here. And he saw the burning bush, but the burning bush was not consumed. And so as he made his way closer to the burning bush, God spoke to him out of that burning bush, told him, man, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. And And as Moses had wondered what it was that God had in store for him, God told him what he would have him do. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested, God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? God answered, I will be with you. That should have been the end of the story, by the way. If God calls you and God says he's going to be with you, end of story. How can you lose? How can you fail? Well, you can't as God leads you, as God calls you and you respond. Moses pleaded with the Lord, I am not good with words. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. I will be with you as you speak, God said. I'll give you the words. I'll tell you how to pronounce them the right way. Now go. Lord, please send anyone else. Anyone else. Perhaps you've felt that way in your own God's call. He's called you someplace and you say, Lord, send somebody else to Sequim, Washington. Send someone else overseas. Send someone else to this place or that, or to this situation or that circumstance in life. I don't want to go. It scares me, God. I feel so inadequate. Yet, aren't you like me? I love having God talk to me. We love to have God talk to us, but it's always a little challenge when God calls us to something we can't do on our own. And as we move forward as new creations, that doesn't happen on our own. It happens through the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so there may be some calls that, well, they make us anxious. They make us feel, well, how did Moses feel? Personally, I thought he should have great confidence. It's not every day you go by a bush and it's burning, but it's not consumed, and God is talking to you out of it. And so it's a very special occasion. Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. But that's not how Moses does it. He's filled with insecurity and self-doubt. No, Lord, I can't do it. I'm not the one for you to send. Please send someone else. And how often in the challenge of life, the difficulty of life, our prayer, our second prayer. Yes, God, answer our prayers. God, do something. The second prayer, when God says, I want you to go, we say, well, wait, maybe you ought to send someone else. Not me. And so the Lord tells Moses his special name, his holy name. And if you don't think God gets frustrated, it's right here in the extended scripture passage. He gets a little frustrated with Moses and finally says, fine. It's not enough that you were class president. Your brother Aaron was the captain of the debate team. He'll go with you. He'll be the one that speaks. Yet he's the one that has to face Pharaoh. And he's the one that has to face down Pharaoh. Have you noticed how your insecurities your lack of kindness. Have you noticed how odd it is when it shows up in your life? In those moments where we ought to have confidence that we ought to be able to stride forward in life, we get cautious, we feel insecure, we're not sure we're the right person for the job. And we are a lot like Moses. In fact, I've noticed that I accumulate my insecurity and my lack of confidence. We're all a little bit like elephants, we never forget. And anytime we're in that moment, that crucible, that challenge of life, where we need to step forward, but we're so cautious, we're so uptight, we're filled with self-doubt, and so we don't move forward in life as God is calling us to. And it's true, our self-doubt and our insecurities will hold us back from being fully transformed as new creations. It'll hold us back and hold us down in the process of sanctification. And so I think we have a lot to learn from Moses here. Why? Because, you know, we're a lot like him. We have our moments. Our moments of greatness, of goodness, of overcoming. But we also have those moments of self-doubt and insecurity. And even though we might have prayed, Lord, your will be done in my life here on earth like it is done in heaven. But our second prayer is, yeah, but use them. I'm not good enough. I can't be the one. What we learn from Moses is that we very much feel as though we aren't in our life. We feel as though we're not the right person. We feel as though we're not moving forward. We feel as though we're not being transformed from one degree of glory to another, the Bible says. Now, there's three common feelings that make us feel like we aren't the right person. We're not as strong as we think we are as we look at ourselves in the mirror. Common things that really make us, okay, we feel bad about ourselves instead of feeling good about ourselves. First on the list, and I think it's one of the highest, and that is rejection. We all experience rejection. Rejection is love withheld, but negative opinion always shared. We're rejected. We want a love relationship with other people. We want to love others, and we want to be loved. We want to know others, and we want them to truly know us. And when we put ourselves out there, so to speak, and take a step towards someone, and they recoil and clam up, well, we've tried to love them, but they have not loved us back. They have not chosen to love us back. And I think not being loved is the greatest challenge in our modern world. It's hard to really love and care for others, and as we desire that, and that doesn't come our way, boy, nothing stings more than that. And if it's not a refusal of relationship, it's that negative That negative opinion, that what someone says just stings again in the same spot. Not only do you not want to be in relationship with me, but you have a bad opinion of me. And so rejection comes in action, but it also comes in words, doesn't it? If it's not rejection, it's criticism. I've said before, compliments and criticism in our life need to be like chewing gum. We chew them for a while and then we spit them out. But even as confident as you might be, self-assured as you might be, there are those moments of criticism that again come from someone we're not sure if they love us or not. See, that's the difference between helpful criticism and just criticism. In fact, I don't even like to call helpful criticism criticism. I like to call it helpful direction from someone. Here's how I experience you. Here's what I would do differently. And when we know the other person loves us, then we feel loved. We don't feel as though we're being criticized. But if we don't know that someone loves us, if, as I have stated it before, if it's someone that has not earned the right to be heard by us, and then they bring some evaluation to us that's hard, negative, critical, then it hurts. It hurts deep. And it's true, we all need feedback on who we are and how we're doing in life. And that's best received, I could tell you, by people that you know love you. Hey, I love you. Let me say something to you. Hey, I love you. Can I give you a little direction? But many times the criticism is hurled at us by others. They don't like us. They don't like something we said. They don't like something we did. And yes, it's true. Everybody's critical. Everybody's analyzing. Everybody's calculating. Everybody's taking in the information. And they are creating a conclusion about us. And I'd just like to remind you that you're a sum total of those conclusions, not the rare conclusion. Not the odd time that you don't say the right thing or do the right thing. You should have said something different. You should have done something different. That's when we just apologize to someone and say, yeah, I'm having a bad day today. I'm sorry I shared it with you. Yeah, criticism. Criticism tells us that we aren't who God fashioned us to be. We aren't acceptable. We aren't going to be included in the circle. And then finally, there's comparison. Ooh, comparison hurts. Now, here's the thing about comparison. Sometimes we're the ones that compare ourselves to other people. You know, that starts in preschool. Children in preschool learn to compare themselves with other children in their age group. And once that comparison dynamic starts, it never stops, does it? And kind of the apex of that comparison would be trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths. trying to keep up because we compare ourselves to them and we want to be ahead. We don't want to be behind. Okay, I'm a Christian. I can settle for even. I can settle for even. What's interesting is not only do we compare ourselves to other people, but you know what? Other people compare us. Compare us to other people. And here's the amazing, an amazing thing about comparison. It can be real that you're being compared, but it can also just be someone's idea. It might be just imagined. In fact, maybe you're plagued with imaginary people who are evaluating you and comparing you to other people. And if you're the one that usually comes out on top in the comparison, then you're secure and you're confident. But if there are those imaginary people comparing you to other people and you can let them have their way in your mind and your heart, what a terrible way to live. No wonder you're anxious and worried and stressed out and depressed. Who can compare with an ideal? With someone's image. Real or imagined, we should stop comparing ourselves to anyone else. And if someone else is going to compare us with other people, well, that's really their problem. Don't make their problem become your problem as you make your way in life. So those are three big things we learn that make us feel as though we aren't. And we can see those in Moses. He's rejecting God's call. He's not taking helpful criticism, is he? And he's comparing himself to others, and I'm not good enough. So if those are three things that make us feel as though we aren't, what makes us feel as though we are? That we are new creations. There's great hope and great possibility in the future. That we will improve, that God will continue to fashion us and use us. And we can and will make a difference in the lives of other people in circumstances and settings. Well, first, what we have to do is remind ourselves that it's all about how we think. Here's Paul, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior of this world. You mean the comparison game is the way of the world? Feeling rejected, rejecting other people, that's the way of the world? Being critical of what other people say or do or don't say and don't, you mean that's the way of the world? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Don't copy the behavior of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, a new creation, by changing the way that you think about yourself. About yourself. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. You are good, you are pleasing, and in God's sight, you are perfect. You are just the person that God created you to be. You are not an accident. We have to decide how we're going to choose to embrace that we are new creations, right? Galatians 6, 15. How are we going to choose to embrace the fact that God is doing something good in us? That he is transforming us from who we used to be into this new creation? That yes, we can be better. We will be better. That God is not finished with us. Every day is a new beginning. Every day we should incline our ear in our quiet time. Lord, what would you have me do today? What are you calling me to do today? But see, we have to choose to step into that. And as we step into that, what we need to step into about who we really are is to really celebrate and embrace our uniqueness. All of us are different. We're all good in our own way. For you, God, created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. See, God was there. You're not an accident. You're not even the end result of a human decision. You are the way that you are because that is the way God created you. And he created you for something unique and special. And yes, there are things we're all called to, but we're all called to something very special, something very unique. And it's interesting to believe that when we become a new creation, God has created a path just for you, custom made just for you. And that's why we shouldn't compare ourselves one to another, because we're all called to different things. We're all different parts of the body of Christ. And so some of us see and some of us hear, and some of us are big-hearted. We're good feelers. Some of us know how to work with our hands. Some of us feel really good when we're out moving about. Is one better than the other? No. The Bible says no. Is one more necessary than the other? No. We need eyes and ears and mouths and hands and hearts and feet. See, we have to learn to embrace the uniqueness that God has fashioned in us. And I know how we are as human beings. Instead of embracing who we are, we're always preoccupied with what we aren't. Every time I give a spiritual gift test to someone, and then I get the data back, I'm always looking at what I don't have. You ever do that? Oh, I want that spiritual gift and that spirit. Oh, and that would be an awesome spiritual gift to have. And God in his great wisdom has only given me one spiritual gift. I am a one-string ukulele. And my job is to play that string to the best of my ability. Do I wish I had more strings? Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the thing. When we're pining for what we're not, we never enjoy who we are. We never enjoy who we are. We never celebrate who we are. God wants us to celebrate who we are. You know why? Because he's created us. He's created us. He is a craftsman. Oh, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hands. God forming you? Are you malleable enough to God that you're allowing him to mold you and shape you into who you really are, who he calls you to be? And really, don't be like Moses. Don't say, well, God, I know better. No, you don't. And Moses didn't either, did he? He was a more courageous leader than he thought he was. And in the end, what God called him to do, that's what won out. That's what won out. And again, God's a craftsman. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now we all do some bad works, some mediocre works. That's why we need confession and forgiveness. We can set aside the things that are not good. And if we can't set aside the things that are not good, we'll never see our very best on display. Instead of having confidence in what God is calling us to do and be, we'll be riddled with self-doubt, insecurity. Life is a challenge. Okay, sometimes you're a challenge. I'm a challenge. The key is we are new creations. We are becoming new. We have become new creations. And God is doing something in us, and God wants to do something through us. And if we keep giving God excuses like Moses did, that'll just show that we're filled with insecurity and self-doubt. And it's true, there are things in life that make us feel like we aren't right, we aren't best. And it's true, rejection stings, criticism hurts, comparison is so frustrating. Well, instead of looking at who you aren't, how about looking at who you are? How about stepping into the reality that God created you and fashioned you in a very unique way, and he has a path and a call to you that is very unique for who you are? And stop eliminating yourself from God's will instead of stepping into God's will. Because as we step into God's will, we feel that we're at our very best. That yes, God has created us, and God has called us to something very unique, and it fits me so well. It fits us so well in those moments we feel the presence of God. We know he's a great God. We know that God is for us and not against us. We know that what God calls us to do, not even the gates of hell can stand against. Because he is almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Be a new creation today. Let that old stuff pass away. Incline your ear to God so he can tell you what your uniqueness is. And then be on your way. It is a heavenly experience to respond to what God calls you to be and to do. And along the way, you might even hear from him. I hope you do. Let's pray. Lord, you know how we are. You know that we can get preoccupied with who we aren't. And it's true that rejection and that criticism and that comparison, it does get to us. But Father, enable us to lean into who we really are in you. That we are new creations, that you created us unique, that we are your workmanship, and you are the master. You are the master craftsman of all human beings. You have imprinted us with your image. And yes, it's true, life has crossroads and uphill climbs. But as you lead us, as you call us, as we faithfully lean into who we are, Lord, we know you have some miraculous, great, good things up ahead for us. And we look for that. We hold on to that, to your promise. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Your
Thank you again for joining us this morning. It was wonderful to see you all, and may the Lord bless you as you go out this week and walk in who He has created you to be. I'll see you guys next Sunday.